Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. Amen. Thankful you're here. You know, the Bookers this morning lit the second candle of Advent. And as I said earlier, we light those candles to remind us that Christmas is coming. But in the ancient world, in the first century church, when they lit the Advent candles and when they prepared for the coming of Christ, they also had one eye on the second coming of Jesus. So as they drew closer to Christmas, their hearts were also not anticipating the Advent, the first coming, but they were also looking forward to the second coming. So Christmas time is a time that, yes, we remember that Jesus has come to earth as a child, but yet he has also grown and he went to the cross and he died and he resurrected, and one day he will return. So what we're doing in this series as we prepare for Christmas, we're looking at the Old Testament prophecies from the book of Isaiah that foretold the coming of Jesus. And what's really cool about this Old Testament scriptures that we study is that when Isaiah saw the prophecy and he saw that God was going to come on Christmas, he also saw what God was going to bring one day. So we're kind of in the middle of what Isaiah saw. We look back to know that the first half of it was completed when Jesus came his first time, but we also look forward to when he's going to come his second time and do so in such a great work. And aren't you glad today, as we learned last week, that God will bring hope into our lives, that because of Jesus we have hope? But this morning I also want us to see that not only will God bring us hope, but the Lord will also bring us peace in our lives. Carrie read the scripture this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. There's your sermon notes. It's printed in front of you. And here we have this amazing passage to where Isaiah says that there will be a stump, the stump of Jesse, and a root will grow out of that stump and it will bear fruit. We're going to explain all that here in a second, so don't look at me like a deer in the headlights quite yet, all right? There's going to be a stump and it's going to produce something that will bear much fruit. It will be a ruler. It'll be a king. It'll be the Messiah, as sometimes he's called, that the Jewish people would look forward to coming. And then he would come to this earth, he would rule the earth, and he would do a great work. And then you have this really amazing part of the passage. And let me just reread this part, if we can. Look at verse of chapter 11. Just look what it says in this language. In verse 6, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the young lion, the fatling will be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young ones will lie down. The lion will eat straw like an ox. An infant will play beside the cobra's pit. A toddler will put his hands in the snake den, etc. What is this talking about? Well, right now, I'm pretty sure that the lion does not lay down with the lamb. Here's what I'm pretty sure happens. The lion eats the lamb, okay? And I'm also pretty sure that the wolf doesn't just hang out with the cow. I'm pretty sure wolf attacks cow. Y'all with me on that today? And also, the lion doesn't eat straw. The lion eats red, bloody meat is what happens. So what is the passage talking about? Well, there's many interpretations. Some believe that it means there'll be a time on earth when the nations will no longer fight. But I believe it's a time that will literally come when Jesus will come back to the earth and he will establish a kingdom that will last for about 1,000 years, and it will be peace on earth. And in the natural order of things will all change. For example, the anatomy somehow of lions will be able to eat straw. And a little kid can play with a cobra. Now, I'm not going to let my little Grace here, my little Hope right now, go hang out with cobras. Anybody else with me on that today? We ain't there yet, all right? We ain't there yet. That time's not come. But there will be a day when the Lord comes, and ultimately when the new heavens and the new earth, it'll be like this. And that'll be a strange day, but a good day. There'll be no wars, no fighting, no hurting, no pain. It'll be pretty awesome. It'll be pretty amazing. Actually, what we need to understand today is that we are promised that the Messiah will bring peace. He'll bring peace to the earth. And at Christmas time, we have so many songs about peace on earth. Now you know why we sing that. Because in the Old Testament prophecies, it was prophesied that the Messiah would bring peace. That he would bring peace to the earth. That wars would stop. Fightings would stop. Murders would stop. Death would stop. And it would be healed. Lions laying down with lambs. little kids hanging out with cobras down at the Starbucks. I mean, this is weird stuff. But God will do something to the world that will bring peace. And for those that know Jesus, we'll get to experience that. And we'll get to see what that's like one day. One day, it'll come. The Lord began the work at Christmas, but yet He'll come back to finish the work. And it will be amazing what that day will be like when the Lion will lay down with the Lamb. You know, at Christmas time, we sang these songs about peace and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We sing that type of stuff and Lord bring peace and things like that. And music always has such a connection to Christmas. I mean, you can't just have Christmas without music. And when we were setting up our tree the other night, we had Pandora on and we put it on the Christmas station and we heard everything, you know, from Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas to Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and it was blaring over our speakers and we were decorating the tree. Christmas and music just kind of go hand in hand. And there's all kinds of stuff. Anybody, you know, you like the Baby It's Cold Outside type stuff. And then you got that, and you got You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. You have that. And you know, there's such a variety of Christmas music. But every year I hear a song, every year, I've already heard it this year, that's a Christmas song, kind of. It gets played at Christmas all the time. And I hear it every year. And it's John Lennon's, you know, Happy Christmas, War Is Over. Now, you hear that every Christmas. Anybody heard that already this year? John Lennon's Happy. Ever heard that song? Everybody ever heard that song? If not, you're living in a rock or something, okay? So they play it every Christmas. And I don't know how much you know about John Lennon's life. Well, he was a Beatle. Yeah, you know that. He was a Beatle. But John Lennon was an adamant war protester. He didn't like war at all. And the story goes that Lennon and his wife rented out, I think, 12 billboards across 12 major cities that said, "War is over if you want it." And if you listen to that song, when they're singing, a lot of people don't realize this about that song. It's actually a protest song. That song is Happy Christmas. It's a protest song because it's got "War is over if you want it" kind of in the background. You have to hear it, but it's there. It's spoken pretty plainly if you listen to it. And the deal with this is that with Lennon, he believed that he could usher in maybe through protest, he did this thing called a bed-in. He stayed in his bed for a long time. I don't know how effective that was. It looks like it'd be really disgusting after a while, you know. But he tried that to try to initiate peace. It didn't happen. And though it's a nice idea to think war is over if you want it, that's a great idea. It's over if you want it. But you know, guys, I'm just being honest with you. I would like to have war over. Wouldn't you? I'd like to have the fighting stop, and I would like to have the wars cease. To be honest with you, I'd like to see peace right now. But if it really is, war is over if you want it, why haven't we got it? If Lenin is correct to say war is over if you want it, well, everybody wants it to be over. So why isn't it over? Why isn't it over? Do we have peace for today? It's great to think about the day when the Lion will lay down with the Lamb and the Lion will eat straw like an ox. That's wonderful to think about. And that's going to happen. I believe that's going to happen. But what about today? Real quick, in your notes, we need peace today for the nations. We need peace in our families. We need peace with God. You know, I mean, think about the wars that are going on right now, what we see on the global scene. Think about the wars that your family have fought, the war to keep your marriage alive, the war that you have with God sometimes, disobeying God, the struggles you have with God, the things that you get upset with God about. We're just being real this morning, amen? The wars with that type of stuff. I mean, if it's true, war is over if you want it, why haven't they ceased? Because I don't want it. I don't want war. I don't want fighting. Maybe it's because for so long we've looked to the wrong person to give us peace. That might be a big kicker at this. It's great to think war's over if you want it, but who initiates that peace? Who brings that peace? Because we've had all kinds of people, we're going to talk about that in a second, they've tried to initiate peace and they have failed at it. Completely failed. Today I really believe if we need peace for our families and our nations, peace in our church, peace in our lives, we need to stop thinking that it comes from inside of us, that it's just this ooey-gooey, ushy feeling, that if we want it enough, then we get it. Because the Bible teaches us that we are conflicted people. We are sinful people that do awful things and that are in need of a loving, gracious God. We cannot initiate peace on our own. We need somebody to help us. Just quick, anybody need peace over a situation today? Yeah, I do too. So today, if we are really looking for peace for the nations and peace for the families and peace with your own walk with God, with what you're dealing with what you're struggling with, we need today to look at the true peacemaker. Because really and truthfully, it's not just wishful thinking that brings peace. Somebody has to initiate peace. And there is a person today, a real live person, that can do this. And he is very, very much associated with Christmas. He is very much associated with global peace, with peace in our lives, peace with God. And he's very special. Let's look at him today. Nathan and Carrie read the prophecy for us in Isaiah 11. But here's what I want you to see real quick, is that the peacemaker would have a specific origin. He would come from a specific place. The Bible tells us that the peacemaker would grow from the root of Jesse. All right, Kenny, where do I go? What herbal medicine store do I go to get me some root of Jesse this morning, you know? What in the world is root of Jesse? What is that? Well, let's rewind a little bit. Isaiah says that the king, the ruler that would bring peace, that would make the lion lay down with the lamb, would come from the root of Jesse. He had already told us in chapter 7 or chapter 9, he had already told us that this new king that would come would be of the line of David. Well, King David, thousands of years before Jesus, David, when before he was born, had a father. Anybody want to take a guess what David's daddy's name was? Jesse. Not too hard, right? And David was from the line of Jesse. In Isaiah's day, war had come, and Isaiah described his nation like they were a mighty fortress that had been, or a mighty forest that had just been cut down. Nothing left but stumps. Nothing left but stumps. Their glory was fading. It was just like everything was just chopped down. The kings of Israel were the weakest that they had been. They weren't like the great King David. They had corrupted themselves with sin and corrupted themselves with bribes and all kinds of stuff. And Isaiah gives this awesome picture of the one coming in the line of David. It'll almost be like a start over. Like the current tree would be cut down. The line of these kings would be cut down and a new person would grow. Somebody different. Somebody that wasn't like the corrupted kings, like Ahab. Somebody that was different, that would grow out of that same lineage, but different. And we know that different person came. Bethlehem, 2,000 years ago, the root of Jesse sprung. And there he was. He was born. The king of all kings. And the other kings were unsuccessful, but this king would bear fruit, the Bible says. He would bear fruit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. In all reality, in order to have peace, it's got to take somebody different. It can't be you. It can't be yourself. It can't be a politician. Lord knows it can't be a politician. Amen. Let me show you something about this real quick. I want to just show you some pictures to make a point here. Throw the first one up there, Tanner. That's Condoleezza Rice with the president of, at the time, Israel, prime minister, and then of Palestine, shaking hands, promising peace. Go to the next one. That's another secretary of state at the time, Hillary Clinton. Again, Palestine and Israel are doing what? Shaking hands in peace. Go to the next one. Here's President Clinton with Palestine and Israel shaking hands, declaring peace, right? Next slide. Here's President Bush. Guess what? Palestine and Israel shaking hands, wanting peace. Go to the next slide. President Obama. Guess what? Palestine and Israel shaking hands, declaring peace. Next slide. The Pope. Maybe he can get them to work, right? The Pope. Palestine and Israel shaking hands, What's the deal? You ready? No politician, no religious leader can do what only God can do. If you're looking today for peace from a politician, peace from a religious leader, peace from a Secretary of State, peace from the Republicans, peace from the Democrat, keep looking. It won't happen. Only one person can bring the peace that this world needs. And you know who that is? The root of Jesse, and his name is Jesus Christ. Palestine and Israel fight like hornets, and they always will. They always will till Jesus comes back. They can shake hands in front of every religious leader, politician that they want, and they're going to fight like dogs until the Lord comes back. That's what's going to happen. If today you're looking for somebody else to bring you peace, if you're looking for a situation to bring you peace, a person to bring you peace, keep looking. It won't happen. Second point is this: the peacemaker would have the Spirit resting on him. The Bible says in verse 2 through 3, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Bible tells us that this great peacemaker that would come to bring peace to lives would have wisdom and understanding, counsel and strength, knowledge and a fear of the Lord. He would know God, and he would especially have the Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on people at times, and he would leave people. He would come on a king and would leave the king, but not like this person. This person would have the Spirit resting on him at all times. In fact, this person would be God in flesh. When Jesus was born, he was God in flesh. And only God today can give the direction, the leadership necessary to bring peace in your life. He can give you wisdom for the direction you need. Understanding when things don't make sense. Jesus can give you counsel when your world is falling apart. He'll give you strength for the challenge that is ahead of you. He is a God that will. He is God who will reveal God's plan and will for your life. That brings peace. When we're struggling and we're conflicted and we don't know what to do, we go to Jesus in those tender, precious times, and he comforts us. Isn't it great today that if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he welcomes you to come to him anytime? Isn't that great? You don't need a priest. You don't need a politician. You don't need somebody to get you into the presence of God. You just need Jesus. And if you have a personal relationship with Christ, he's there with you, ministering to you, helping you. So what do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus today and say, God, I have conflict in my heart, conflict, and I need peace over a situation? What do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus today? Here's the great thing. He'll let you, because the Spirit is on him. You think back to his baptism when John the Baptist baptized him. Remember when the Father spoke and the dove came and rested on him? A beautiful time. Jesus has what it takes. He's different from the other leaders of the world. He is God, which allows him to speak into our innermost, darkest parts of our life and brings us peace. But third, I want you to see this. The peacemaker judges as the righteous judge. Now, this part, some of you all may not agree with me. I'm just telling you right now. So far, you've been pretty cool about talking about Jesus being different from the world leaders. Jesus is God. He has the Spirit so he can reach into our inner deep parts and heal us. This is the part that some of you may not like, but it's the truth. There's only one way that Jesus brings peace to the earth. Let's read it. It says this, starting at the second half of verse 3. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. So he's telling us that he won't be biased in his judgment, that he'll be able not to just see one thing and not see the rest of it. He sees it all. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he'll slay or kill the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness will be around his waist. Jesus is portrayed as a judge in Isaiah that judges the nations and the world before the ultimate peace comes. Now, this is hard for us because we have believed in a culture that Jesus looks like some guy sitting at Starbucks, sipping on a latte, wanting to discuss philosophy with you. That's hippie Jesus. And here's the problem with hippie Jesus. He ain't the Jesus of the Bible. We are having a really dark moment in our history where people want to judge what they believe about God with how they feel rather than what God's Word says. And we must be very careful never to base our thoughts and views on God by what we feel versus how it's revealed in God's Word. Does that make sense, church? God reveals Himself in His Word. And we don't have to apologize for that or make up for that. We need to believe and receive that. Y'all with me, Life Community? Our understanding of God comes not from our feelings about God, but from what God tells us what He's like from His Word. And the Bible tells us that He will come and He'll judge, that He will eradicate wickedness, that He'll give justice to the oppressed and the poor. And all the while doing that, He'll be righteous in everything He does. Now, this is tough. Because when you read the end about how Jesus is portrayed, He comes back riding on a horse, opens His mouth, a sword comes out, and strikes down the wicked. You don't really see that at Starbucks hippie Jesus. Amen, you know? You don't really see that. And some of you are like, well, Kenny, what does that have to do with peace? It has everything to do with peace. See, peace cannot come on the earth until all the wickedness is gone. It can't happen. The wickedness has to be gone first. And some of you are thinking, well, that just doesn't fit in my view of God. I don't like that God has to do away with all the wicked before peace comes. I don't like that. I know it's hard. You know why you don't like it? Because you're wicked. So am I. That's why. Because we sin. We sin and we do things that God does. But here's the deal. If the Lord does not enact justice and judgment upon the earth, then He's not a fair God. He's not a good God. Because how could a good God let crimes go unpunished? You with me on that? That's not peace. That's turning a blind eye. That's a judge that takes bribes on the side. And before this worldwide kingdom of peace comes, Jesus eradicates the wicked. Now, the Lord's all about taking away wickedness. Believe it or not, today, if you know Jesus Christ, He's already eradicated the wickedness in your life. Though it's a process. But see, at the cross 2,000 years ago, when God forgave you and gave you peace in your life, He didn't just say, well, you're forgiven, and He pushed all the sin underneath the rug. You know that, right? Remember that old song, Jesus Paid It All? So you had a debt. And when Jesus died on the cross, follow me, the wrath of God went to Jesus. So your sins were punished at the cross. Isn't it wonderful today that Jesus would trade His life for us, His righteous life, to save us from our wickedness? Those that know Christ are saved from that time period and get to dwell in God's peace. Those that don't know Christ do not. At the end, the hope is this, is that Satan and all of his forces will be thrown into hell. Those that reject the Lord will follow Him right there with them. Then a new heaven and a new earth will be made. For those that know Jesus Christ, this is a glorious time. The end should not scare the Christian. The Christian should not be nervous about the end. They should be excited and anticipating the end. But if you don't know Jesus, that's a different story. That's a whole different story. Well, Kenny, I like peace without all that stuff, but it can't happen. The Lord has to do it. Now, I want you to notice real quick in closing, and I want you to see this real quick, okay? Listen up. When you look at what happens, all this wonderful stuff at verse 9, this wonderful kingdom of peace that God brings, it says that in verse 9, no one will harm or destroy on my entire holy mountain. And look why. It says, for the land will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. What does that mean? For the Hebrew, the knowledge of the Lord was not intellect. It was experience. To have knowledge meant that you experienced something for the ancient Hebrew. So when the Bible says that the world would have the knowledge of the Lord in it, what that meant is that these are people that have experienced and touched God. They have seen God. They have walked with God. They know God. And they've been changed. So in order for this kingdom to come, those that only know the Lord will know what it's like to see war over. Only those that have come to Christ will get to experience the peace that one day. Only those that have experienced Jesus. Every Christmas, John Lennon's song reminds us, war's over if you want it. But Lennon himself could not even bring that own peace on his own life. This last summer, when we took our trip to New York City, we walked right by the place that John Lennon was gunned down and killed. We walked right by it. You can preach it and declare it, hang posters up, hang signs up, sing songs about it. But there is no peace today unless you know Jesus Christ. There is no peace unless you know Jesus. Now, there is some truth to what Lennon said. The war is over if you want it, but you've got to go to Jesus to get it. You've got to go to Jesus to get it. My friend, today, there is peace for those that would call on the Lord to save them. There is peace for those, for their families, for their walks with God, for their journeys, for those that would call on Jesus. So as we look forward to Christmas, I look forward to one day when He brings peace to the earth. All wars will stop. It'll all be over. But I also look forward to today, because He gives me peace with God. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You. We thank You for Christ. And in this moment now, we ask You to bring peace into our hearts. God, there are people here today with burdens, with troubles that are robbing them of their peace. And God, today I pray that they would find their peace in Jesus, that He died for their sins on the cross and that He rose again. And Lord, if today, if somebody is here that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would come forward to settle that, to make sure that they have a walk with God. I pray if believers need to come and pray about whatever they're struggling with, that they would find peace today in Jesus. Lord, only peace. Lord, my decision today is to find peace within the Prince of Peace. That's my decision. That I will go to the Prince of Peace to find peace this Christmas. So, Lord Jesus, stir us closer to You. Move in this time. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? If God is calling you to do something today, would you come? The altar's open if you need to come and pray. Would you just go to the Prince of Peace today for whatever you need?